Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, start your engine!
Wow! It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
And Pete LaFuchsia.
I may be weird, but I'm not stupid. Or am I?
You're not a freak, and I won't let you think that about yourself.
Why can't you support my gibberish?
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
If it has an engine and goes fast, they talk about it.
This is the show for you.
We have done things that some folks don't even know about.
Great in-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard.
He's our Joe Biden.
Ryan Newman looking for his first checkered flag since the 2008 Daytona 500.
Hello, Newman!
Newman. It's Newman at the line!
Danica, we saw what happened in the pit. You didn't get a chance to talk to Ryan on the track. You were pulled away. What do you want to tell him?
Probably best I didn't get down there anyway, isn't it?
Go on, cry home to your mama. She waiting for you.
Through the final two corners, J.R. Hildebrand. Careful of traffic. He's got to get around the left. Traffic. 100 gears now.
You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
We're racing for the big money, and we're racing for points, and we're racing for the all-inclusive NHRA Full Throttle World Championship, which is just huge in itself.
Okay, I'm not sure what that first part meant, but that last bit was
pure evil.
I was driving around the racetrack, driving with my knee, looking out the window at the fans and waving at them, and when I turned and looked back, I ran head-on in the wall and destroyed my car to start finish line. That was embarrassing.
Well,
I was born to a racer, grew up around racing.
I am truly jealous.
And now here are the hosts of Speed Talk.
This romance just got interesting.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before. You people are amazing.
Cliff Tanner and Pete LaFuchsia.
Thank you, Rod Tanner. Welcome back, junkies. Yes, we are back here at Speed Talk. Got Pete LaFuchsia and Cliff Tanner here. And I want to, before I go into it, you can check us out on our Laughing Cliff Media Network. You can also go to RadioSpeedTalk.com and check all of our past interviews and shows on there. and even our Speed Talk draftings that we do special shows with. Check it out. Again, Twitter at Radio Speed Talk 2. That's Cliff. That's who it's myself you'll be talking to. And we also iTunes and go to Facebook.com, RadioSpeed/RadioSpeedTalk.com. So things are cool. Things are going good, but I just want to let you know that Kenny Barr has had to take a hiatus as he goes into his new endeavor. As we, you know, we did a show from the place that he's at with the Shepherd's House, which is a home for recovering addicts and homeless veterans. So he found out that this is going to take a little more of his time than he thought. So we wish him well and hope everything's good, and we may or may not see him back. So.
All the best wishes from us are on there.
Yeah, definitely. Kenny put a lot on this show, and we appreciate that, and hopefully we can see him come back. So just want to let you know, because last week he was on vacation, but we had some long discussions, and he just needs to take the time to acclimate to everything, and that's cool, you know. We always wish anybody well that wants to better themselves, and he's doing a pretty good job of it. So just want to let you know what was going
on. God's work.
Yep, definitely doing God's work and helping out the veterans that need it. So. That's always a cool thing. So, anyway, we got a lot going on in the show today. We had a lot, lot going on last week, and well, actually this week so far. So, we had the Indianapolis race, both in the nationwide and in the sprint. We also had the Grand Am Series go on. We'll try to touch a little bit on that. We'll touch a little bit on the ARCA with Frank Kimmel and what he's accomplished there down in the ARCA Series over at Lucas Oil, also the same weekend. We'll try to get a little bit of NHRA. We got James Hinchcliffe coming up. what?
Oh, it's just we recorded it earlier, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Folks,
gotta check it out.
You've got to. If there's I'm horrible at teases, folks. Okay, yes, we recorded it before this segment. You've got to hear the interview with James. You're going to love it.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say.
Those guys are going to be down in Mid-Ohio this weekend, and. You know, he's pretty psyched up. I mean, here he was rookie of the year last year, and he's got fifth in points this year, and he's got
he's on a great team.
Yeah, he is. Andretti Autosport, and he's driving the GoDaddy car. And yeah, you definitely got to listen to the interview. Excellent interview, a lot of good knowledge, but we also had a little bit of fun with it, and he even threw me off once or twice. So, but it was a cool interview. So check that out. Make sure that'll be coming up in our third segment of the show. And, again, we just had so much, I don't even know where to start. I guess we start with, surprise, surprise, A.J. Allmendinger has been released from Penske. Not a surprise to me whatsoever. And I'm still stunned, Pete. I'm still stunned because the times we've talked to him, the times that I've seen him, and the things that I've seen him do, I cannot believe he was actually guilty of this.
Yeah.
I mean, and it just, I'm more shocked with him than I was with Mayfield.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, you heard our interview we played with him that we did from Michigan, and I wish for the life of me I could find the archive interview we did with him back in 2008 when he was a rookie, just because you could see how straight-laced he was and all that, and he had fun, and people liked him, but man, yeah, this just, it still surprises me.
It's a shock, and you know, it opens up the door for Penske, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. But he did test positive. He's on the NASCAR death sentence, I call it. Everybody says it's a road to recovery, but we all know that's a death sentence. Once you're marked, you're marked.
At least for the drivers.
Even if he comes back, he's going to have a heck of a time finding sponsors. I mean, you know, once you get into a drug deal like that, especially illegals or whatever it is, you're done. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a nice article on Speed TV that talked about a little bit about that today. And, you know, I mean, he was a great driver in other sports, so he's probably going to be going there. So, you know, it's he's gone. You know, he's going to have to go back to his roots, so to speak. And it's really a shame to see a good driver go by there. And, you know, and kudos to Roger Penske. I mean, he tried to do it as classy as he could, but he had to, you know, elude. The bottom line is, when you delve in that kind of stuff, you know, we have to let you go. It's not that we don't want to.
Right.
You know he had a lot of potential. Everything was good. But once you get to that point, what do you do, you know?
Penske is a team. It's not like they have four cars and endless amounts of money and a deep, deep – well of people back in Nationwide and Truck. I mean, they only got, what, two Nationwide and one Truck? And it's not like he could sit around and hold off for that. And like I alluded to last week, it's not like AJ had 10 wins and was a top five finisher. To my knowledge, he's never made the chase, has he?
No.
So
I don't think he has.
So there's that. He was, I think, when they brought him on, they're like, you know what? Here's a guy that will help sell the Pennzoil brand, the Shell brand. We're going to get him in that car. He's going to be totally opposite of what Kurt was, and the sponsors are going to love him. And you know what? And now that he's with a better team, maybe he will get that win that he so desperately is close to and almost could grab.
Right. I don't know, man. It's a sad situation. But, you know, it dawned on me today, though, Pete,
mm-hmm.
and you and I talked a little bit about this, but it didn't dawn on me till today is what kind of door is that open, man? Could you imagine Matt Kenseth?
Oh, yeah.
Matt Kenseth, everybody thinks there's a deal done between him and Joe Gibbs, but they can't say anything because of Joey Logano.
Or whoever, or if it's Hamlin or whoever. Yeah.
It's Joey. We all know.
Hamlin's
not going anywhere and Busch ain't
going.
They're bringing too much money into that team.
And they're not going to bring a fourth car on that.
No.
Because
so,
they would have had to have it in development by now.
It's perfect. I mean, and, you know, Pennzoil has made, or Shell, excuse me, not Pennzoil, Shell has made a commitment to Penske for so many years, and they're going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been the biggest problem with Matt Kenseth? He cannot find a consistent sponsor.
Since
and
DeWalt still, left, yeah.
Right. So, and I still believe that that's not his fault as mm-hmm. much as it is going back to...
I personally think Roush didn't do enough to try and sell him, get him.
He didn't.
I mean, he's the most senior driver at Roush, and he's the one fighting for a sponsor week in and week out. I mean, as much as I like Biffle and I like Edwards...
You know why?
Why?
He's the most boring driver they got.
Oh, he can't push, yeah.
Yeah, he's not good.
I think, do you remember that reality show they did a couple of years ago where they were going to show, they called it the Gong Show part, where they had people auditioning, and they showed that Rauscher's like, well, you got 33% driving, 33% looks, and 33% selling.
Right.
How did Kenseth get in there? He must have had 100% on the looks and the driving, because he sure didn't get a passing grade on the sales part.
Well, he got his driving is what got him.
Oh yeah.
I mean, look what he did in Nationwide. I mean he was pretty dominating there, and he came up and you know, it's a shame. I mean, because at times I don't like Matt Kenseth because he whines a little too much, but then you know. Because he's a lot like Carl Edwards. You know, they whine about what other people do to them, but it ain't nothing for them to do it back. You know what I mean?
But that also may be their training in that camp. That might be the whole modus operandi for Roush.
Well, we'll see what happens. But before we go into break, I want to talk about the ARCA race down at Lucas Oil Raceway. Frank Kimmel busted a 76 race slump, wins his 75th.
Wow.
75th. You know he's got 9 ARCA championships?
Wow.
9 ARCA championships. The guy is, he knows how to drive. Apparently, you know, some guys just like to stay at certain levels and they don't want to graduate or they don't get noticed because of style of driving or whatever the case may be. But he's 4 wins away from the all-time win list.
Wow.
And I've been trying to do the research and I cannot find the name of the guy who got it. But I know 79 is the win list. And if you find it, I'll be mad. I mean, I hope you do. Don't get me wrong. But I looked all over for it and couldn't find it. But Pete's going to start looking at while we're doing that. Let's go ahead and take a break. And we'll come back on the backside. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices. They're going to need advocates.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is here to help.
We're going to make sure that the Veterans Affairs gives them everything that they're entitled to.
Get all the health care they need.
Making a person's house adaptable for them to go back home and live.
Education benefits.
And we also focus on getting them a job.
And if something happens to the veteran, then, you know, we're the spouse's advocate.
We help our veterans for free.
The way that Paralyzed Veterans of America does that is through their national service officers that are located throughout the United States.
Our work is important because people depend on us.
And they know when they come to Paralyzed Veterans of America, they're going to get the right answer, and they know that we are there for them 24/7, because we are.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway and a fellow race fan. There's only so much time and money to do the things you really love in life. That's why we're making sure your time at the track this summer is better than ever. MIS is dedicated to delivering exciting NASCAR racing and a great escape with friends and family. You've earned your fun this summer, and MIS is committed to making sure you get it. We'll see you at the track. Michigan International Speedway. It's your speed.
Hi, this is Alan Johnson, driver of the Mopar Dodge Avenger. You're listening to Speed Talk with Pete and Cliff.
Welcome back. Got Pete LaFuchsia, Cliff Tanner coming at you. And Pete did finally crack it up, and or crack it up.
I crack it up every week. I bring
the crack,
it.
Yeah, the crack
I bring the yucks.
Has finally found who, but it's Iggy Katona, who died in 2003, had 79 wins over
in the ARCA series. Yeah.
So Mr. Kimmel only needs four more wins to tie, five to win. And he still can do it. I mean, in championships, yeah. You can definitely tell the boy can drive. So
he actually, in the article that I was reading that mentioned that, because you said he couldn't find it, he says, oh, and you want to look for a dark horse candidate for the championship this year. He's already talking about a championship this year.
And he is a dark horse.
I mean, yeah.
You know, he's not that far off in points or anything. So, enough about the ARCA. Congratulations to Mr. Kimmel and doing a great job over there. And he put on a good show. Anyway.
On to Pocono for him.
Yeah, they're going to Pocono. And we'll be talking a little bit about that in predictions a little bit later. But another thing I want to touch on, you know, we've talked about Allmendinger, and we'll see what happens with Kenseth going there. We still don't know. It's one of those things. Usually you got a pretty good idea this far into the season who's going where. Especially when it's a big-name driver. I mean, you had the issue last year with Carl Edwards, which Everybody knew he was going to sign and stuff like that because he is the face of Ford. And,
in NASCAR, yeah.
All that. But anyway.
Well, my thoughts is, look at how weird this is that they had all this issue to bring AJ into that car because everybody thought it was an who was supposed to be the key? Regan Smith.
Right.
So I wonder if he's now going to take a left turn and pick somebody weird or just stick with his gut and move on. And for those of you who are saying, what about Hornish Jr.? Apparently Hornish Jr. has already said no, he doesn't want that ride.
Yeah, I'm guessing he doesn't. There's a lot of pressure that they're doing both of them. And I think you can definitely tell, which puts in a segue for Nationwide, he is feeling very comfortable down there.
Oh, yeah.
He's learned a lot. He's gotten a lot better, and he's top five in points.
Oh, yeah.
And, he finished second in the inaugural race down there.
Rooting for him to win.
Yeah.
How cool would that be that he could say, hey, I've won the Indy 500 and a stock car race.
It all depends on who you talk to.
Finished
second or finished third.
Third, yeah.
I tell you, it really saddens me when you are taking away a race from Lucas Oil Raceway that has been a mainstay at that track for a gazillion
years. Since the late or early 80s.
Years. Yeah. And you're going to take it and you're going to bring it over, okay? You know, we talked to Tom on his radio show over the weekend. I've talked to other people, and we're all, man, this is going to be kind of tough. Even some of the drivers were going, man, I don't know if I'm going to like this, moving over. And you can't help it. Even Laura Steele said, from Indianapolis.
And for those of you who don't know, we did a full 2 hours with Tom Marquise, who's on the Balance Radio Network, part of the Indy. ProSports.com.
Right.
We talked about his show, and he had guests Laura Steele and Tom Marquise is the host.
Yeah, but and a lot of people have talked about it. Even like I said, media, whatever. So you bring it over, you're going to make history. So you think you'd want a good run? You want to see something good going on? First of all, you've got the top five towards the end. Was three of them. Were Childress, and two of them were Penske. And that's the way it was pretty much, the last quarter of the race, and it was just back and forth, back and forth. But the thing that gets me is the whole race, first of all, started on Casey Kane getting mad because somebody jumped the restart. And
right.
It went on for 10-15 laps they were going back and forth, and they weren't going to penalize them for it.
Right.
So you could tell that threw off Casey Kane's whole entire day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you get a mental thing like that, but first of all, you know, once you get the mental thing, it messes you up. But the thing that gets me is, why would you want to cry about it that early in the race?
Right.
You know, I don't get that with Casey Kane. And I guess part of it is, if you lead the first lap, nobody can take that away from you in
right.
an inaugural race at, you know, Indianapolis.
First person to lead a lap at Nationwide would be Boom, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they're never going to take that away, which also brings to the point, whoever wins this is never going to be taken away. He's the first
mm-hmm.
ever, and that's going to, I mean, that's annals of history. In fact, that series goes on another 2,000 years, he's going to be the first one.
Yeah, but I think in 2,000 years it may not be Nationwide.
Well, yeah, we're going to be racing spaceships by that time. But
they're going to be like, oh, look at that. They used to use gasoline back in the day.
So anyway, they decided that, and I can't, and honestly, folks, I'm trying to run my head through all this. I can't remember exactly how many laps there were left. It was less than 50 when they had to do the restart. So, you know, you had Keselowski and you had Elliott Sadler.
24 laps left when that happened.
24, that's yeah. right it was. Okay, I thought it, I was
he,
thinking it was.
Because then I didn't realize they will let a person, the black flag, go 5 laps before they do anything. So
the reason they did that is because they were protesting.
Right,
and
yeah.
NASCAR said, oh, maybe we did make a mistake.
And they looked at it.
But they said that Elliott Sadler jumped the race because
yeah.
Keselowski was in first place.
And he was
so
pushed.
Well, he wasn't pushed, but if you look at the audio, Keselowski spun his tires.
Oh.
And they're saying, no, they didn't. So immediately, being who I am, because I know it makes you
Captain
mad.
Captain Conspiracy.
That's right. I automatically said, way to go, NASCAR, to ensure that a storied team like Penske wins this race.
Finally gets
sure
a win
enough,
in stock car,
yeah.
Yeah,
so, and you know, whether I am or not, but I did Twitter it, and I haven't heard anybody scream or yell at me or cuss me out, so it must not have been, you know, caught that much. But
did you put that at or whatever so it gets retweeted, maybe?
Oh, I always do that. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I I don't know much about it. All I know is if you do ats or
anytime I do
it,
it automatically comes up. All that stuff comes
okay.
up, you know. So,
oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have been retweeted before, so that wouldn't be. But anyway, I can't help it. It just makes me mad. It's a shame to end that race. It really is. It's a shame to end that race on a controversy like that. But, you know, and Sadler did give, you know, and begged. And so did Childress. And there was even, you know, watching the tweets, whatever
mm-hmm.
you want to call it. He was very mad when he went to the hauler after
yeah.
the race. And do you blame him? As a team owner, I'd be a little ticked off, too.
Well, one of the things I heard in listening to some of the talking heads today and back all the way back to Monday is there's a lot of audio they didn't air because they actually had to turn his channel off because of some of the expletives that were being thrown saying, no, you need to look at this. And he was pleading his case.
Yeah. I don't think it, there was more of a chance for a jump to start at the beginning of the race than
mm-hmm.
there was on this one. And it just really burns me that you're going to end your first race like that on a black flag. And, you know, what do you do?
This is where I'm going to come over to the dark side and agree with you on something. I think a race like this, maybe they shouldn't have had so many Cup guys down there because it was a bad lettering of it with Casey Kane, Keselowski and all them, and Kurt and Kyle and you name it. I thought when we did Tom's show, somebody said there were 7 – I thought I heard a final. There was 8 full-time Cup guys down there.
There was 8 of them. Yeah.
8 of them out of the 43. I'm like, that's just.
But that's kind of like Sam Hornish and you know because he's riding Cup now.
Well, yeah, and Joe Niemicek and some of the others.
Oh,
but
I didn't even count Niemicek.
Well, maybe that's where the 8th one came. You guys didn't
yeah.
count, but he ran the whole race. But it's just, I wanted to see a guy that's a full-timer like Sadler win it because one, he was doing that dash for cash and that would have been cool right there, and he's going for a championship. But then to see, okay, now Brad gets to put his name down in there. Not that I have anything against Brad. I mean, I think he's a great driver. I like him. Probably the most naturally old school driver you will see. I mean, him and then Kyle Busch too a little bit. The more I think about it, those two are probably, if you were to look at the evolutionary chain of drivers going all the way up to the pretty boys, Gordon and Johnson, they would be Neanderthals.
Yeah, well,
they almost
true.
Have the big, me drive car, me go fast, rah,
well, here's,
pound chest.
Here's the deal, you know, either way, it was a pretty good race for the most part. And congratulations to Brad Keselowski for winning, even though you were, you know, handed a gift.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one I want to really point out through this whole thing, Ty Dillon, number three. Man, did that guy drive, and he never left the top five once he got there. And I've always said,
third place, not number three. Austin was on the number
three. That's what I meant. He was third place. He was the number three car, whatever.
Number 51
yeah,
car.
Yeah, Austin was fifth. But, you know, and I can't help but to look at it, and I look about what Ty has done so far last year and this year. I'm sorry. I believe he's a little bit better driver than Austin.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that either.
Yeah, so congratulations.
I mean, we saw that in tennis with the Williams sisters. Everybody thought Venus was great, and then Serena comes in and just totally kicks butt. And it's like, oh, wow, little brother or little sister is pretty good.
Yeah, well,
little brother, I think he's going to be the one that we're going to be talking about in about 5-6 years.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But congratulations to those guys for coming up with that. And we talk about the Cup real quick. You know, I don't know. Jimmy Johnson dominates 99 out of 160 laps. Not much of a race, you know. And Tom, the guy we talked to, kind of got mad at me because I said, and I was talking from a fan's point of view that, you know, the racing hasn't been there, been the same fan-wise since they had the 20 lap day.
Oh, the 2008 race,
2008,
yeah. The heat racing.
And it's coming back. And I used the word boring. He goes, Cliff, let's say uneventful. I said, well, use whatever you want. I'm talking from a fan's point.
Yeah.
That's a boring race for them. You know, being down there and all that's an aura. But let's face it, Indianapolis is a great track to be at because of the history and all that, but it's one of the worst to watch a race at if you're a fan because you can't see a lot of the
right.
track. So you can say what you want. You can get mad at me all you want. You know, there was some good racing going on. I was kind of surprised that, you know, Jeff Gordon got up there again. And I'll tell you what, Jimmy Johnson was just strong. Number four, he joins all the other guys with Ford and Gordon and
Rick Mears, A.J. Foyt, Al Unser Sr.
Yeah, so.
Oh, and I want to make a correction.
Michael
off
Schumacher.
Of,
so.
Yeah.
But
no, Michael Schumacher didn't win four there. Did he win four?
Yes, he's won
four. F1 races?
F1.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yep.
All right. I wanted to make a correction. You were saying that you wanted to see. In the Nationwide, somebody win because then it would be the first father son to win. I'm like,
it wasn't Nationwide. That was the Cup.
Oh, the Cup. Who was it?
Junior.
Oh, Junior. Yeah, first father son. AJ Al Unser and Al Unser Junior.
I meant NASCAR.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about track, and
yeah,
it didn't hit me until I'm like, wait, the Unsers have won their father and son.
I meant NASCAR.
Okay, that's
right.
What it was. Yeah,
see, they're not the first one. Of any kind of racing at Indy.
Oh,
right,
and folks that listen to the show regularly are like, I thought Cliff picked Stewart last week. No, while this show we did Saturday morning, Cliff changed his mind and switched over to Dale Jr., but we're still going to score him for Stewart, who finished higher
for
predictions.
He did?
Yeah.
Finished higher than Junior?
I thought he did.
No.
We will have to check that when we get to
Junior
predictions.
Junior was in the top five, I believe.
And
he?
Stewart ended up finishing...
Well, I guess he did come up through there. I think he was 8th.
Stewart finished 12th. So we'll check
right.
that out on the break.
Yeah, anyway, whatever.
Yeah, we need
but,
a break.
Again, Indianapolis, you know, you guys got to do something down there, man. That's all I got to say about that. You're listening
now
to
it's time
Speed
for the
Talk.
Guru of curmudgeonry. Curmudgeonry, that's not even a real word. The Sultan and Critique, it's Cliff's time to comment on Speed Talk.
You should share your hilarious hate with everyone.
Hey, junkies, the famed Brickyard is over, and wow. I don't know where to start on that. You know, usually we get some pretty decent shows out of that, some pretty good racing, but Jimmy Johnson, man, dominates 99 out of 160 laps. Unbelievable. Wins his fourth. You know, there's all kinds of buzz that he'll probably win some more. And, you know, he's got it dialed in. Jeff Gordon had it dialed in his prime, and he actually ran pretty well. But the thing, I guess, that really amazed me is... You know, and we talked about it on last week's show, is how much the popularity of that particular race has really gone down in Indianapolis, I was really, really surprised and shocked at how many empty seats there were. Now, keep in mind, they seat about 250,000 people in there, so they still made a ton of money. From what I understand, over $10 million they profited out all that with everything going on. But I don't know. I just keep thinking to myself, you know, how long, much longer is this race going to last? But, you know, even if it's only half full, folks, it's still going to bring in a ton of money because that's more seats than what other tracks have. But I don't know. Something's got to happen to make it more interesting there in Indianapolis, and I'm not sure what it can be. I'm totally baffled as I sat and watched all the racing going on. But definitely, they still always put on a good show, good crowd. Again, the first time ever they had the Nationwide down there, which ended up in controversy, but that's a whole other story. But I don't know. Indianapolis, you got to do something, man. NASCAR, you got to do something. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going downhill fast. I'm out of here.
Good afternoon, race fans. Thanks for taking time out of your day to talk some racing with us. I tell you what, if you like racing, you want to make sure you join us every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for The Balance. Not only do we give you a full, complete, in-depth coverage of racing, but every other sport that's out there. That's why we're called The Balance. Make sure that you join us and follow us on Twitter, T-Balance and Pro Indy, and on Facebook, The Balance and Indy Pro Sports. See you on Saturday.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, this is Josh Zimmerman, driver of the 09 CRA Late Model Sportsman and member of the Speed Talk family of drivers. You're listening to Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
Right, welcome back. Got Pete Fisher, Cliff Tanner coming at you. We're now joined by a gentleman who is the driver of number 27 GoDaddy.com car in the IRL for Andretti Autosport, James Hinchcliffe. Sorry about that, James. Such an easy name and I messed it up. Didn't mean to do that, buddy.
No, man, have a go with that.
Don't worry about it. You know, that's what I like about race car drivers. They always say that, but, you know, deep inside you want to know, are they really mad at you for, you know, screwing up the name, right?
No, man, not at all. I screw it up sometimes.
All right, well, hey, James, I thanks for taking the time. I mean, you got the big race coming up at Mid-Ohio. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we love coming to that track. You know, it's such a cool place to go racing. And you know, we've done a bunch of ovals and a bunch of street courses the last little while. We haven't been on a proper road course since Barber back in, what was that, end of March, early April. So, you know, a track like this for us is a real awesome opportunity to really, we really get to stretch the legs of these Indy cars, you know, and use those downforce and really push these things. And this is the kind of track they're built to run on. So it's a great thrill coming there, and the track's got such a nice rhythm. It's got so much history. It's one of the good classic road courses left in America, and it just makes for a great weekend.
Well, I mean, obviously, James, you feel more comfortable on a track like that. What gives you an advantage at a track on this personally than maybe some of the other ones you were talking about?
Well, for me, for whatever reason, I've always done well at sort of fast, flowing racetracks. It really suits my style, and That's exactly what Mid-Ohio is. You know, I've run well there in the past and everything that I've ever raced here, and it's just my kind of track. So we had a test there last week where we got to, you know, take the Indy car out there for the first time, the new Indy car, and get a good feel for the place. And, you know, with the Andretti Autosport team and especially on the GoDaddy car, we had a great test, and we are hoping to sort of go there and have a strong weekend and try and get back on track, because we had a strong start to the year, but the last couple events really haven't gone our way. So it's time to get back on track and back up on the podium, hopefully.
Well, if you don't mind, you know, kind of let some of our listeners know that doesn't really know what a IRL road course is. And I'm telling you, folks, if you've never been to one, you got to see it. It's kind of cool. And I got to tell you, James, I'm not a big fan of it myself, but until, you know, I actually saw one. But explain to people, you know, you always hear people put it down saying, well, you can't pass or anything like that. What kind of strategy do you take into a track like Mid-Ohio?
Well, you know, we've seen a huge improvement and a huge jump in the number of passes this year. And, you know, it's a combination of the new car, the tires that Firestone are bringing this year, the carbon brakes that the cars have, and, you know, the overtake that we've got this year is a bit more powerful than last year. And also they've done away with this silly no-blocking rule, so we can actually race each other again. and the racing's been great. You know, every single track we've been to, ovals and road courses, it's been just so much better. So, yeah, in the past there's definitely been races that are tough to pass on, and Mid-Ohio's, you know, suffered from that before. But I think that this year, if anything that we've seen so far is an indication, it should be a better show. And what you end up seeing is guys doing different fuel strategies and different tire strategies to try and pass guys through strategy, you know, as well as on the racetrack. And so it just really mixes things up, and I think it makes for an exciting race. And on top of it all, when you just get to see these cars drive around this track, it's like I said, this is the kind of track that these cars are built for, and it's, you go stand in turn one and watch us going through there at, you know, 140 miles an hour around a 90-degree corner, or, you know, you go sit up in sort of the amphitheater section there, the stadium section through 4, 5, 6. It's just so cool to see and so cool to watch. And if you've never seen it, I guarantee you you'll leave a fan, because it's tough to smell it and feel it and hear it and not fall in love with it.
Well, James, you mentioned, I got to bring this up. Last year, you were 2011 IRL Rookie of the Year, and then you come in here with the new car. Do you like the new car better, and what do you think is the best change that maybe they made for that car?
You know, I do like the new car better, and I didn't at first. You know, if you had asked me that after the first test, I would have said, you know, I don't like it. It's not sorted. It's not really well suited to my driving style. And some of that's still true. I mean, I did have to change my style quite a bit when I first got into this car to really get the most out of it. And that was a big challenge for me. But, you know, working with this team at Andretti Autosport has been so good, and they've done so much hard work over the winter to get this thing sorted and get it more suited for me and Ryan and Marco. And now I absolutely love driving it, and especially at a fast track, because it's got way more downforce than the old car. So a place like Mid-Ohio is a great place to try this car out. And for me, I'd say, you know, the biggest improvements are actually the engines, and the fact that we now have multiple engine manufacturers. It is really it's really opened up the competition a little bit. It's brought a new element back to the sport that was there a long time ago and we all enjoyed. And, you know, getting to work with the engine manufacturer, being able to adjust things on the engine that you never were able to in the past when it was just one manufacturer, it's added a whole new element to our weekend as drivers and as teams, but also I think it adds a pretty big element for the fans.
Well, you drove for your first 2 years in Indy Lights and had races at Mid-Ohio, finishing 7th and 2nd. But then your first year in IndyCar, you ended up coming in with a 20th. Is there a different type of transition going from the smaller car to the one that you're currently driving, or was that just kind of a hiccup last year?
Yeah, well, if you look at the full story, it's way more dramatic than that, because I actually qualified 7th, which at that point had been my best road course qualifying ever in the IndyCar series, and I got pushed off the track on the first lap and fell to last place. So we switched up the tire strategy a bit and ended up catching a lucky yellow, and I actually led for an entire stint. I led 26 laps, keeping Scott Dixon, Will Power, and Dario Franchitti behind me while saving fuel. And, you know, even those guys admitted that they couldn't get by me on straight-up pace. And then late in the race on a restart, got spun around, and so finished 20th. But it was actually one of our stronger overall performances. So to have tested the new car there last week, and, you know, I think we found a pretty strong setup, we're confident that we can go there this weekend and hopefully, you know, get back in the Firestone Fast 6 and qualifying and try and bring this thing back home on the podium.
Again, if you just joined us, we're with James Hinchcliffe, the driver of the number 27 GoDaddy car in IRL. And James, let's talk about the season a little bit. You're currently 5th in points. Talk about how things have been going for you. Have you seen some places you might be able to make some improvements by the end of the year to get higher in points?
Yeah, well, it really has been a strong year for us. You know, I think we've exceeded everybody's expectations, and only my second year in the series and first year with Andretti. And if you look at you know, the start of the year, we were super competitive on almost every kind of track, road courses, street courses, super speedway, short ovals. you know, I think we went six races in, finishing and starting in the top six at every single race. And by half distance, we were second in points. So it was definitely a strong start to the year. And then I had a crash at Iowa, and we had mechanical failures at Toronto, and then was in a bizarre accident taken out by a flying piece of racetrack in Detroit. So we had a couple of things that sort of derailed our efforts a little bit. And so, like I said, we're looking forward to getting back sort of to the form that we had early in the year. But there's I think as a team, we've been performing very well, and the strategies have been called really good from the pit box. And, you know, the like I said, the car's been quick at every type of racetrack. And, you know, my teammate Ryan's leading the championship right now. So obviously the team's doing a great job, and we just got to have luck come our way a little bit and keep working hard and focus on getting the best out of the weekends. And I think we can get back up there and maybe claw a few places back in the championship.
Well, now that you mentioned it, I mean, you're talking about Ryan, who's been, you know, literally on fire pretty much. And you got Marco. How do you guys work together, and what have they brought to you that may have helped you improve this year?
You know, it's been such a great partnership, and I think that the chemistry and the team between the drivers and between the engineers and mechanics is better than it's been for a long time. You know, they had a tough couple of years with some clashing personalities, I guess you could say, and Marco, Ryan, and I are, you know, we're great teammates, we're great friends off the track. And I think that's a really important part of working well with somebody. And, you know, Marco, obviously, even though we're about the same age, he's been here for a long time and is massively experienced and is one of the best oval drivers ever. I mean, at Indianapolis for the 500 this year, you know, Ryan and I really let Marco take the lead and really followed sort of his lead, because the kid is so good around Indy. It's unbelievable. It's scary. And then, you know, Ryan has a particular trait in his driving style that really does suit this new car. And when I was struggling sort of early in testing, because it wasn't really my style, I could learn an awful lot off him, and it was great for me to have Ryan on the team and like I said, be able to look at his data and pick his brain a little bit, because it really did help me improve and get prepared for the start of the year. So I think that everybody's been contributing, and it's been a really strong effort, and you're seeing those results on track.
All right, you know, James, we always, at radio shows, always want to try to get the scoop, but I'm going to try to get the scoop on this side. You're sponsored by GoDaddy.com, and you can tell us about that right after you answer this question. How many times have they asked you to wear a bikini in a commercial?
Well, luckily, they're smart enough to know that me in a bikini is probably going to drive business from GoDaddy. And so luckily I've not been asked to do that just yet. So it's been phenomenal working with them. You know, they're such a cool company. They're so much fun to work with. And, you know, anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge goof. I'm the class clown, and I always have been. And I never wanted to have to sort of temper that and rein that in to sort of fit the quote unquote corporate image, or, you know, become one of those cookie cutter drivers. And so I couldn't have landed with a better company, because GoDaddy are definitely, there's nothing cookie cutter about them. And I know how to have fun. They know how to push the boundaries. And I think that's right up my alley. So it's been a great partnership. They've been so good to me. And, you know, hopefully it's the start of a long, successful relationship.
All right, again, we're with James Hinchcliffe, the driver of the 27 GoDaddy car in IRL, coming up at Mid-Ohio this week, the Honda Indy 200. Tickets are still available at midohio.com, or you can call 1-800-MID-OHIO. That's 1-800-643-6446. And, James, if you could do me a favor and help me out, explain to people why they should come out and watch a race like this.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you've never been to one, Maybe you've seen it on TV when you're flipping through and watched a couple laps and said, "Eh, not for me," or, you know, whatever. Even if you've never really been a racing fan, give me one race. Come out and watch it and see it in person, because I talk to so many people at the racetrack that tell me this is their first ever IndyCar race. They can't believe they've been missing it their whole lives, and they're fans from that day forward. Because when you're there, when you watch it on TV, it's a little sterile compared to the real thing. But when you're there and you can smell it and you can see it and you can feel, you know, the engine, like the rev, the engine screams so loud it pounds in your chest, you know. And to watch one of these cars go around turn one at 145 miles an hour, it's the most incredible thing you've ever seen. And, you know, the access to the cars and the drivers is incredible. You can meet anybody you want to meet. There's a series autograph session every single weekend. You can go and get autographs from every single one of the drivers. It's it really is just a cool atmosphere, especially in mid-Ohio, because it's this big sort of camping atmosphere. It's got this great vibe to it. Everybody's there partying and having a good time. And then, like I said, the just thrill of seeing these cars in action up close. It's if you've never seen it, I guarantee it'll blow you away. Come once. If you don't like it, you tried it, and thank you, but I can almost guarantee you will leave a fan for life.
I got to tell you, and James is, ditto to that, man, because I was one of those guys until I actually watched you guys race out there. It is amazing. It is cool. And James Hinchcliffe, I appreciate you joining us, man, and good luck. And you got to promise me that you will let us know, you'll come back and talk to us if you win this race.
I certainly will. I'll also come back and talk to you if I get the call saying I got to wear a bikini.
Hey, speaking of which, that just brought up another point, and I'm just going to ask you real quick. Give me about 30 seconds.
Now I'm kind of worried that reminded you of another question.
No, I wasn't going to do that. There's been a rumor that Andretti's going to NASCAR. Is that true?
You know, funny. I haven't asked that a lot lately. And
oh, I'm sorry.
I've not spoken to Michael about it. I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, obviously there's definitely some benefits for a team to be involved in both series. I mean, you look at Penske, you look at Ganassi, and they're two of obviously the strongest teams in IndyCar, and they both got NASCAR programs. And you know, if you were to go down the list, the next team in line would be Andretti, but it's got to make sense financially, and it's got to make sense logistically, and you know, with the economy the way it is right now, it's a tough game to play. So we've got a really strong IndyCar team right now. We've got a great thing going, and I know that Michael doesn't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize that, because that's the main focus right now. So you know, if the right opportunity came around, I think anybody would take a look at it. It'd be foolish not to, but I certainly haven't been asked if I have any interest in driving a Cup car next year. So we'll have to see how that one plays out.
Well, you know, if you've been around IRL and NASCAR for a long time, and I've been following it for a long time, this isn't the first time it's happened. I just had to ask you real quick. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there or ask the same question everybody else did. But, James, I really have enjoyed our time, and we will talk to you for the years out, man. I appreciate it, and good luck on Sunday.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Again, that was James Hinchcliffe, driver of the 27 GoDaddy car, talking about Mid-Ohio. Again, the Honda Indy 200 Mid-Ohio. Tickets are available at midohio.com or call 800-MID-OHIO, which is 800-643-6446. Pete just handed me a note. Motorhome and reserved grandstands are sold out. General admission still available. Get out there and check it out. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits. And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hey, this is Joey Logano. You're listening to Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
All right, we're back. You just heard James Hinchcliffe. Again, I told you it was going to be worth sticking around.
Dude,
for.
Dude, it was worth the price of admission.
No doubt. All right.
My fave.
It's that time of the show.
Soapy calls. God, wouldn't that be a funny call?
Yeah, it would.
Hello, this is Cliff. Who is this? James Hinchcliffe. Yeah. I told you I'd call you if I put a skirt on again.
All right, here we go.
I just think
Come
that's
on.
Funny.
Let's get back to the show.
Okay.
All right. It's prediction time, and, man, I it's one of the worst weeks I've had in a long time.
Second worst week in 25 weeks
yeah,
for you.
I don't know what's going on here, man, but that's the way it goes, I guess. Pete, give me a pretty good whooping this week. He ended up with an 8.67, and I ended up with an 11.83 average finish. He is still behind me, though, in season average at 8.96. I got 8.44, but if I keep having weeks like this, it ain't going to take long. But we picked the ARCA at Lucas Oil. We did the F1 Hungarian Grand Prix, and then we also did Top Fuel Funny Car at Sonoma, and then we did the Nationwide and Sprint down at Indy. And, man, I'll tell you what, Eric Jones has been running so good, and I picked him twice now. One time he didn't even run. This time he finishes 33rd because he got crashed.
Out of 36.
Out of 36.
I have a question. I got my hand up.
Yeah.
Did the pit stop record get broken in F1 in Hungary? Okay, because we talked about it in Germany.
not yet. It's still 2.31 seconds. So, that is still amazing.
Faster than a sneeze.
Yeah, very nuts. So,
there's a commercial for ESPN.
Very nice.
No, not a sneeze, but a Top Fuel car going down a drag strip and a pit stop side by side because they're almost at the same time.
All right. Well, we went way off there.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's my ADD.
So that's where we're at. We're down to the two guys picking races here for a while. And
with the guests thrown in here
and
there.
We'll have some guests every now and then. Hopefully we're going to get Roger Curtis on next week.
Yes, that was supposed to be the makeup week.
Yeah, well, it's not just that, but they've got a big the Michigan race is coming up as well, so looking cool here. Anyway, this week we're going to do the ARCA in Pocono, the Top Fuel Funny Car in Seattle, Nationwide, Camping World, and Sprint. And I should say Nationwide is in Iowa. Camping World is in Pocono. We're going to start with ARCA.
Oh, wait, you know what? I didn't think about this. We should throw the Mid-Ohio race in.
Yeah, we can do that.
We'll do that one on the fly.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, I know who mine is, but we could start it since we got a couple
minutes.
Yeah,
we know who you're going to pick. It's James Hinchcliffe. You do that every time we have a guest.
No. No, I'm going to go with somebody else, but go with ARCA first.
Let's start with ARCA and Pocono. I pick Brennan Poole.
I'm going to go with Spencer Gallagher.
And the NHRA Top Fuel, I pick Tony Schumacher.
Antron Brown's going to do the second Western Swing Sweep in his career.
And NHRA Funny Car, which I got to tell you, the Force cars took a beating, although I got to say congratulations to Courtney for being the number one qualifier this last week.
Oh, yeah.
So that ought to tell you that.
Well, her and Alexis, 1 and 2.
1 and 2, exactly.
Two women, that's not going to
anyway,
happen.
Anyway, I picked in the Funny Car, I got Ron Capps. He's going to rebound from the poor showing ahead.
I'm going with Courtney Force. Not that she'll win, but I think she's going to have a really good showing.
All right, NASCAR and Nationwide, I went with Austin Dillon.
Elliot Sadler's got something to prove.
we'll see how that goes. NASCAR Camping World in Pocono, I went with Mr. Peters himself.
I'm going to go with Ty Dillon off of his impressive performance at the inaugural Nationwide race.
All right, NASCAR, we're going to go Sprint in Pocono, and I'm going to take Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I think Joey Logano is going to sweep Pocono this year.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. In Mid-Ohio, you know, let's talk about the IRL. I'm going to have to say I'm still going to stay with my man. I think Will Power is going to do it for me.
Helio Castroneves, because he just got picked for Dancing with the Stars All-Star Edition.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
All right, you ready to go to break?
Well, you know, he won last week, so, you know, yeah. I mean, the last race, so what the heck. All right, folks, you're listening to
Speed Talk.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Nitro-powered risers.
8,000 horsepower.
Mayhem.
Recycled oil.
Wait, what?
Yeah. NHRA champs Jack Beckman and Antron Brown use recycled oil with next-gen technology from Valvoline.
Recycled oil.
Yep.
And they win.
That's right.
A lot.
Oh, yeah. Still worried about recycled oil?
Not anymore!
Valvoline Next Gen. Made with 50% recycled oil. It's a win for your engine and the environment.
Been like this for weeks. You just need a new battery. That should do it.
That did it!
Bring it in and we'll bring it to life.
You need anything else? Okay.
Find every battery for every need. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Need a battery?
Visit your local Interstate All Battery Center today.
Hey, this is Sam Warner Jr. You're listening to Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
Welcome back, folks. You've heard all kinds of good things going on in a great interview with James Hinchcliffe, again, the driver of the number 27 GoDaddy car in the IRL going down to Mid-Ohio. And make sure, folks, if you get a chance to go to Mid-Ohio, contact them and get out there and watch a race, because it is cool to watch a good road course race, and right there is a good place to see it. And you heard a challenge by James himself. Come out here, you can almost guarantee you'll like it. And if you don't, at least you say you did it.
So, 1-800-MID-OHIO to call for tickets, or midohio.com is their website.
Thank you, Pete. I was just getting ready to say that. All right, again, thanks to James and all of our staff here at Speed Talk. Sorry, I thought you were telling me.
No, that's there. 1 minute left.
I'll get all that down. Again, check us out on the internet, radiospeedtalk.com. And again, we have all of our shows and things there. Yeah, exactly. Twitter at Speed Talk 2. Then that'll be me you'll reach. Become our friend on Facebook at facebook.com/radiospeedtalk. And you can also catch us on iTunes. And I'm telling you what, there's a lot of good ones if you want to check it out. Speed Talk is a production of Laughing Cliff Media, copyright August 2012. All rights are reserved. For my co-host and partner in crime, Pete LaFuchsia, I'm Cliff Tanner. Remember, if it has an engine and goes fast, you'll hear about it on
Speed Talk.
We're out.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits.
I demand more.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Good afternoon, race fans. Thanks for taking time out of your day to talk some racing with us. I tell you what, if you like racing, you want to make sure you join us every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for The Balance. Not only do we give you a full, complete, in-depth coverage of racing, but every other sport that's out there. That's why we're called The Balance. Make sure that you join us and follow us on Twitter, T-Balance and Pro Indy, and on Facebook, The Balance and Indy Pro Sports. See you on Saturday.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a didn't you?
That's all, folks.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.